Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome to Fans and a Pro with Deuce and Jeff. Mike is out today, not available.
You are the only pro on this panel.
Yeah, well, we're both pros. We're fans and the pros on this panel. And, you know, hour to go here on the show. Just got a lot to get to. You know, we'll have Sam Bruckhouse will join us, former Tulane linebacker, sports senior NFL analyst and data scientist. Talk a little bit about the college football weekend as well as the NFL weekend and you know, just in general. Jeff, we've talked a little bit about this Saints team, and you know, while we're here, let me get to Bobby on the call. Give us a call, 504-260-1870. Bobby, I want to get your thoughts because I think that you're looking towards the draft, and here's the thing we've got to remember when you talk about the draft. The draft is after free agency. Mm-hmm. So the Saints and other teams will have an opportunity to maybe fill some holes before the draft.
Yeah.
So I want to get your thoughts. I just want to throw that out there first. Bobby said, I don't care. And yeah, I hear
you. How you doing, Bobby?
Yeah, I'd like to, I mean, I think running back and defensive end would be a nice first round division for us. Pick up right there. And I mean, in my few years, I believe that we're lacking most in those two fields right there. So,
you want to add a running back and or defensive end with the first round pick?
Yes, sir.
You know, what would your thoughts be on the Saints going in on a running back early in the, like, with the number 8 pick? Because typically I would say, like, I hate the idea in terms of positional value, but I do think if you feel like you have a quarterback, putting a stud running back next to that quarterback feels a lot different than, say, the Giants putting Saquon next to old man Eli.
Yeah, no, Bobby, thank you for the call, and we're going to discuss it here now. For me personally, I'm not a fan.
No?
Not at 8.
Yeah, I'm not either. As much as I want Jeremiah Love on the Saints uniform.
I wasn't a fan last year, even at 9.
Yeah.
For the Saints last year, and I know they worked
with
out.
Genty, yeah, with Genty. Had gotten there.
With Genty. Yeah. And for me, it's not because I like both of those guys. But for me, unless you hit on everything else that you need in free agency, then it almost feels like it's a luxury.
It is a luxury. Yeah. And it's like, here's the thing. This is how I've always phrased it. It's like, if a stud running back can make a good team into a great team.
Correct.
A stud running back is not going to make a mediocre team into a great team.
Until a great team.
They might make a fringe playoff team into a playoff team.
Correct.
But that's not what you're trying to be as a franchise. You're trying to win a Super Bowl. Like, your long-term game is, how can we be the best team?
Well, but from a long, short and long-term,
yeah,
I've got to be able to build either around him or know that I have a quarterback that can – it'll be good, but I just don't like it at 8.
Yeah, I mean, like
I don't like it at 8. Maybe 15. I like it a little bit better there.
How about like a Jameer at 12? Like, I feel like that was the kind of sweet spot of you have a team that you feel like can win, and then you add a running back mid first.
Mid first. I mean, 12 is probably still a little high for me.
Yeah,
I still. Probably,
they also had two first round picks. Well, that year,
but here's the other thing: who else was in the backfield with him?
David Montgomery.
So I had somebody else that
could
lean on.
At the time, wasn't it Jamal? I feel like that was, they signed David Montgomery that year to pair with him.
Free agency.
I could be wrong.
Picked him up in free agency.
Yeah.
Picked him up in free agency. I mean, but like, here's the thing. He's not considered the lead guy. And I guess here in New Orleans, we will know then by the situation with Alvin.
Yeah.
So when you draft a back, he's either going to be your lead guy or he's going to be a complimentary player. I can't take complimentary player at 8.
At number 8, yeah, you're right.
I cannot take complimentary player at 8. And like you just said, is this team good enough if we just add that one piece, missing piece, being a tailback, is he going to get you to the playoffs or even to be able to compete to where you can get to the Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, like look at the two guys, Saquon and Bijan, right? Very similar players, very similar impact. Both have been extraordinary as NFL players, but Bijan didn't have the impact you needed him to have until he went to the Eagles. Right?
No. Saquon.
Bijan eventually will go to another team and win a Super Bowl. Leonard Fournette's another example. Like, what did Lenny do with the Jaguars? He was good. He went to the Bucs and won a Super Bowl.
I never got to the playoffs by myself.
Yeah.
I was successful as all get out. I never got to the playoffs until we got Reggie.
And here's the thing. When you were drafted, running back value was a completely different.
I knew I was going to touch it 25 to 30 times.
Yes.
As a back dish, if you get 20 touches, you're rubbing your hands.
Yeah,
I mean, because you just don't get the touches. The value is now put on the quarterback, and so I get it just because it's easier to throw through the air, but the teams are shifting back to running the football, even if it's two guys. But, you know, for me, on where this team is, if I had the choice to get a running back at 8 or defensive end at 8, I'm getting a DN.
What I will say is this is the first draft in a long time that I didn't feel like need is going to drive the Saints' decision-making. Because, like, you look at, okay, what do you need that you could only get at the top of the first round, which is offensive tackle, stud edge rusher, but you still feel like you have edge rushers,
I like
right?
the guys. I don't have to reach
right.
for
so
a guy.
So you can truly go, like, teams say best player available, but it's almost always best player available at a position we need. Right?
That we need.
they cut that part off the end, but it's almost always there. This year, I genuinely feel like, you know, think of it a couple years ago, there had not been a single defensive player drafted when the Saints went on the clock, and they ended up with Taliese Fuaga because they desperately needed a tackle. He may have been the top player on their board, but you also had an option of saying, hey, we could take the top defensive player in the entire draft, but it wasn't. But you needed the tackle. You ended up with a tackle. Like, if that happened this year, who's to say? They're just like, well, he might have been in position of need, but such a talented player has fallen to us. We're going to take him because we don't desperately need a tackle or whatever else.
I would be surprised, though, if you take a tackle this year.
I would be too, but I also wouldn't put it past him.
I would put it past him this year. I would think that you – now, I don't want to reach.
Yeah.
I don't want to go and reach, and you got a project, and it may take you doing something that you don't like to do, trading back. But
it would signal that they're planning to move someone like Fuaga to guard.
Well, which would probably be didn't we just get down that road?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, and so I don't see that being the case with Fuaga. I think he can hold his own. You know, the biggest thing for the big man, he's got to stay healthy. He's got to stay healthy. I mean, so
felt bad for him this year. Like, every time he came back from an ankle injury, he hurt the other ankle
or hurt a knee, or my back has always been hurting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for him, he's going to have to figure that out. How can I, you know, make sure that I'm healthy across the board? But when I look at it at 8, you're in a pretty good position. Whether it's an impact player that could help your skill guys or in the trenches. I mean, we can talk about how this team has built itself during the trenches. Is all, you know, they've done a good job, but I would be surprised if it's truly a guard and or tackle at 8.
I do also feel like, you know, we talk about it would have been cool if they beat the Falcons week 18. You know what would feel a lot different? 11.
11.
Because that's where they'd be drafting if they won that game.
Well, you're truly in no man's land,
right,
too, though.
Right. 8 feels like you can get, especially with the quarterbacks at the top, like it feels like you can pretty much go any direction. At 11, it's like, oh, we're just going to sit here and wait and see what happens.
So do you think Oregon quarterback does come in?
Yes. If you're going to be number 2 in the draft, if you're getting draft grades back at the high first round, you got to go.
Yeah, I mean, and I know he's talking about to go to the Jets.
I don't think that actually happens as much as people like – you know, maybe it does. Maybe I'm crazy, but you're going to play football in New York City. Like,
and tell me how much money is guaranteed to me?
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
We're not talking NIL. I know Phil Knight is running things out there in Oregon, but I think that you'll make that up in New York on endorsements alone.
The idea that people don't want to go play for the Jets is silly. Like, I get it. They've been bad for a long time, but
just think about New York and the endorsements.
If you're going to be good as a professional athlete, you need to be arrogant enough to think, I'm going to turn this team around.
I can win in New York, even with the Jets.
Because if you're not, then you shouldn't do it in the first place.
No, you don't have the right attitude. You're listening to Jeff and Deuce on Fans and the Pro on WWL.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back to Fans and a Pro. Deuce and Jeff Nowak with me. And I know we have Sam Bruckhaus with us, and Sam, former Tulane linebacker, senior sports analyst, NFL analyst, and data scientist. And Sam, you gotta tell me here, are you just a numbers guy? And you obviously played the game, but are you just a numbers guy? Is it analytics with numbers, or what's the driving force behind it? You gotta tell me.
Hey, look, I gotta tell you, they teach you a lot at good old Tulane University, and I may be from Lake Charles, but I like the numbers. I was a computer science major at Tulane, but I also played linebacker. So I have an understanding of what's going on the field, the schemes, what the coaches are trying to do, what the players may be trying to do as well. You know, I got J.J. McCleskey. He gave me some of that. I know, Deuce, you're friends with old coach J.J. a little bit. But the numbers are important, too, and that's what I've been studying for the last few years. We're doing a great job over here at Sumer Sports of providing live data. You can check that out tomorrow, sumersports.com/live. But I like to blend them both.
Well, to blend them both, most individuals can't do it. Either they didn't play at the level that you did, and if you listen to Coach JJ, Coach JJ getting you in some trouble over there. But you know that's another conversation to have. But at Sumer Sports, is it more analytics driven, or kind of tell me, are we leaning on history? What data are we truly following?
Yeah. So the way that we like to approach it is we have a full team of scouts and coaches and players that have really seen the game and been the game for a very long time. In fact, previously, you know, Thomas Dimitroff, who is now a senior advisor for the Saints, he was my boss last year before he jumped over to the Saints. Now we got guys like Mike Mayock, Mike McCagnon, former general managers, and they understand what is important about the game. But what we've identified about technology is that we can better identify and more closely define those important things using computers and using computer vision. And so we work very closely with our scouts, with our ex-coaches and ex-players to really define what is important about this game, implement it in a way that will be objective every single time, and then adjust that to make sure we're capturing the right thing. That's what we like to do over here at Sumer Sports.
You know, Sam, I remember talking to you right after the draft, and y'all put out a great draft guide. If anyone hasn't checked it out, you got to go look at it. It's incredible. And we talked a lot about Tyler Shuck, and you know, talked kind of like about, you know, Bo Nix the year before. You know, his superpower was kind of sack avoidance and avoiding negative plays. And I think that's, you know, we didn't see the sack avoidance from Tyler that I was expecting to see, but I do think we saw kind of the negative play avoidance from him. And that allowed him to have success as a rookie. I'm just curious, as you go through all the rookies this year and you could look at, hey, okay, rookie of the year, candidacy, that sort of thing, what did you see from Tyler Shuck throughout those 9 starts this year?
Yeah, I think what Tyler was able to show, as you mentioned, the sack rate was not particularly great for him. When we discussed guys like Jackson Dart, for example, that was a guy who we talked about being kind of one read and scramble guy, but he was able to make it happen. He was actually in that range, ranked 32nd in sack rate this year at about 8% of dropbacks in which he took a sack. But really where he showed up was his ability to make plays within the offense. You know, in the last couple of games, we do a tracking system using artificial intelligence that looks at every tenth of a second and looks at the relationship between every player on the field, compares that back to 2016. And he had several blue chip games. So I think an understanding of the offense, an understanding of his offensive line, and an ability to get the ball out there to Chris Olave, who had a true bounce back season, I think should be a candidate for comeback player of the year. His ability to make those plays is really what separated him, and that's why it showed up in our, you know, second by second tracking.
Sam, and I got to ask you, you know, you talk about this data, you know, that was something that 15 years ago, 20 years ago, I don't want to say it was unheard of, but it definitely wasn't used as much. How much buy-in do you have from older coaches that, you know, they don't want to look at that? They want, hey, I need to see what the player looks like. I need to tell me, you know, I need to see it with my eyes. How much buy-in do you have from some of the older guys that the numbers tell tell you a lot?
Yeah, I mean, really all the numbers is trying to do is take what they were already doing, make it quicker, and make it so that less mistakes are made. You know, we're all human. We all make mistakes. And so I think the way that I like to explain it, especially being an ex-player, is like when you really look at what Sean Payton and Bill Belichick were doing, charting every play, grading every play, looking at every player throughout the play, those were really all analytics. All we're doing is describing it and trying to make it more process-oriented and more systematized. And I think when you get those ideas and you're able to outlay that this is going to save you time and this is really going to encapsulate what you're already saying about the game, I think the old coaches really buy in. Take, for example, a statistic like expected points added. We all know that if a player has 100 yards in a game rushing, but you know, they got all those yards rushing when they were down 30, but that's not going to make a massive difference in the game. What expected points added does is include things like the clock and include things like, is it third and one or third and two, and put everything in terms of points. And I think when coaches start to get those explanations and start to see the payoffs from guys like Drake May, for example, who was very high in expected points added this year and projected to be preseason given what we had seen. I think when you start to see those payoffs and you just add a little bit of explanation to in terms of football language, it really makes a huge difference.
So I want to know, can your data tell me, all right, I got a player. He's a little winded. At 15 carries, he tends to do this, or at 15 carries, he tends to do this a little bit better. Does the data tell me that? Does the data give me that information, whether it's, you know, his numbers start to fall off or he's gotten stronger as a runner after 15 carries?
Yeah, so that's a great example. That's what we'd like to call like a break-even point or something like that. So you're going to go into that data and you're going to try to get a sense of, you know, where the fall off may happen, where the expected points added per play may drop off, or the yards per carry. But really what we like to do, what's very interesting about this, and it's great for college, obviously, going college to pro, is looking at how fast these players are actually moving, you know, because we're having them on a tenth of a second by tenth of a second motion. So a great example of this is a player like Christian McCaffrey this year, who early on in the season and throughout the season, despite the fact that he is an Offensive Player of the Year candidate, was really not doing it on the ground a lot. He was in the deep 20s in terms of efficiency running the ball. And when we really took it back to look at what was going on, his speed had dropped off quite a bit. What's the difference? Kyle Shanahan recognized that early on in the season, starts using him as a slot receiver, maintaining more of his quickness and his ability to break than his top level speed. And then all of a sudden you got a guy who is getting 23-24% of targets and is a absolute weapon, just a slightly different weapon than he was before. Using that tracking data and using some of that information can give us a sense of that early on in the season so you can make adjustments. And I think that's why the 49ers are one of the best teams in the league right now, because they identified it and they made a move.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned kind of the data, and I remember I had someone reply to a tweet and was like, but how do you know, you know, by looking at yards per carry, whether it was like third and one or fourth and one? And I was like, well, let me introduce you to my good friend EPA, because that's literally what it's there for.
Exactly.
But, you know, I'm just curious, as you kind of look through this season and going into the playoffs, are there any kind of, you know, spots in the data that you've noticed, like trends in the league changing? It does seem like, you know, the teams that can run the ball successfully have gotten back to having the advantage, where for years it seemed like it was a passing league. I don't know if it's a passing league anymore. It's a kind of dump off league now. But, you know, are there any kind of large trends that you've noticed throughout the course of this season?
So I think the first trend that you kind of highlight a little bit, and I do think it's a bit of an anomaly, is that quarterback play was down. As stated, we have metrics at Sumer Sports that watch every tenth of a second on every play, and we have that going back to 2016. This year, we only really had one player who we thought would have been worthy of an All-Pro award at the quarterback position across all quarterbacks this year, and that was Drake May. Everyone else, we thought maybe they're an impact starter, a Pro Bowl-level guy in previous years, but really only Drake May played up to that level. And I think, you know, there's a multitude of reasons of what's going on, but I think it was a little bit anomalous. You have guys like Trevor Lawrence, who got hot at the end of the season, Tyler Shuck, who got hot at the end of the season. But I think we did have an anomalous year at the quarterback position, and I think that the data caught that as well. But what I thought was really unique, and you'll see this heavily in some of these NFC games, is coaches have started to use personnel diversity, particularly big bodies at the tight end position, in order to actually open up the passing game. Take a team like the Seahawks, the number one team in the NFC. They're actually pretty not good. They're kind of putrid at running the ball in the bottom of the league, but they do it a lot, and they do it with big bodies on the field like A.J. Barner. They like to use a fullback from time to time, Elijah Arroyo, the rookie you'll see out there as well. And what they're really trying to do is get teams to overcompensate for the danger of the run so that Sam Darnold can drop back and hit Jaxon Smith-Njigba on some of those big plays. I, for one, think they may be running it a little bit too much, which takes me to the Los Angeles Rams, one of the best offenses. They will trot out three tight ends. Guys like, you see Parkinson out there. Higbee may be coming back for the playoffs. You see a big collection of three tight ends, and they love to throw the ball out of it. And they have Puka Nacua. They have Kyron Williams back there. And that is what Sean McVay has really locked in on this season. The idea that he can put three tight ends out there that can block, but also receive, and that he thinks other teams will put out linebackers. He likes the matchups there, and he eviscerates them with Matthew Stafford in the passing game.
Sam, you just talked about a little bit of college football. You got to tell me your thoughts tonight on the Indiana-Oregon matchup and just what the data tells me, but also what this Tulane Green Wave linebacker tells me. That's from Lafayette over there. You from Lafayette or you from Brobridge? Where are you from?
I'm from Lake Charles.
Lake Charles. I'm sorry.
We all 337.
Well, yeah, you Boudin country steel over there. So I do apologize, but come on, tell me what the data tells me.
Yeah. So the interesting thing about this game in particular is you're going to see the number one rated and number two rated quarterback in the draft. Both of these guys can really play. But the interesting thing is you're not going to see explosive plays. At least I don't think so, and we haven't seen it in previous games from either the Indiana offense or the Oregon offense. So if you're a betting man, I think the under could be an interesting value play for you in this game, because both of these teams rely on precision and play-by-play keeping the chains moving. You're not going to see them trying to get these big, huge plays time after time. They're going to trust in their quarterbacks, trust that they can find completions, they can run the ball effectively and get 4 or 5 yards, be able to control the game. So it's going to be really interesting to see who can truly do that. I think Indiana has a slight bit more talent at the wide receiver and cornerback positions, so that's why I'm a little bit more inclined to go with Indiana. But Oregon has some big names up front as well. You think of a guy like Isaiah Worlds, who is very well regarded in the scouting community, will probably be a round two or round three pick if he decides to go to the draft. They could be able to push the front as well. I like Indiana in this game, but I really think this is going to be a true precision matchup that will be won by whichever team can keep the chains moving and go on long drives.
Yeah, and just to dig into that a little bit more, you know, obviously you mentioned the quarterbacks, Fernando Mendoza, Dante Moore. I assume it's in that order when you talk about the top two rated quarterbacks. But, you know, what is it that Fernando Mendoza does that makes him the best quarterback in the country?
Yeah, so it's exactly that. His ability to keep the chains moving and find completions. You know, when you talk to these quarterbacks, and nobody knows this better than Deuce, a lot of the times people want to chunk the ball deep down the field, take risks, but if you're able to just find completions piece by piece, we found that it's very difficult to do, but the guys that can do it at an extremely high level. I think that's why people like Fernando Mendoza. You add in that he has a little bit of mobility as well, can run quite a bit, make some plays with his legs. I do worry a little bit about his ability to avoid sacks as a regard of that. But I think as a result, you mix that size and a little bit of that mobility. My comp for him is Jared Goff with a slightly worse arm, but slightly more mobility. I think that's why he is the number one right now.
Sam, I appreciate it, my man. We could talk sports and numbers and whether you really learned something out there for JJ or whether you was doing something in this this numbers class that you've kind of created. And tell us a little bit more about Sooner Sports and, you know, just where the people can go and look at the data and study the data, you know, and, hey, to do what they need to do with the data.
Yeah, SoomerSports.com/live tomorrow. Get all your stats for the game there. And, hey, Coach JJ was teaching me how to be a five rundown and hammerhead down on kickoff. So shout out to Coach JJ too.
See that you were in great company until you just told me that. I did not want to know that, but no, I'm messing with you. Thank you so much for the time and appreciate it and good luck. You know, in growing what you guys are doing sounds fantastic, and I got to look into it a little bit more.
Thank y'all very much.
Thanks, Sam.
Yeah, I mean that's where league, not just the NFL, but that's where leagues are going. I mean, I talked about the old coaches. A lot of them are slowly buying into it. But you look at some of the teams that have really, really good analytics, and, I mean, they're buzzing in.
Well, we used to, you know, just to background, so Eric Eager, who helped start PFF, he is one of the people who helped start Sooner Sports. Mm-hmm. He is now no longer with Sooner Sports because he's working with the Panthers.
Correct. And,
so,
well,
like,
and Thomas as well.
Yeah, there's a reason that these teams are bringing these guys in because it's important information. And, you know, the resistance, you know, everyone wants to talk about, oh, go with your gut. You know, like, you got to balance that. You know, like, you can't use it to make all your decisions, but you do want your decisions to be backed up by the data more often than not.
Yeah, well, and, you know, sometimes I have to tell me what my eyes see as well.
Right.
My eyes going to tell a story maybe the numbers can't tell, but I'm probably got to lean onto the numbers a little bit more, particularly if I have the infrastructure in place.
Yep, no doubt.
This is Fans and a Pro, Deuce and Jeff here. We're going to take a quick break. 504-260-1870. Shoot us a text or give us a call.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back to Fans and the Pro. Deuce and Jeff here with you, talking a little bit about college football, the NFL playoffs, the Pelicans, who tip off in 24 minutes as they take on the Washington Wizards up in Washington. And then I think the Pelicans come home. They were over in Atlanta, I know, a couple days ago, and they're up in Washington. And so we just had Sam Bruckhaus on Sooner Sports talking a little bit about the data, and I think he has sent Jeff down the rabbit hole with the data. So I'm going to see what he has for us.
Well, no, this is more of an old school stat. Like, we all agree on this stat that it's important, but we never talk about it. Everyone, you talk about defensive line, which I think the nickname for the Saints defensive line when they inevitably bring Cam Jordan back, we can call it an old and a young, because you got the old guy and you got
and a young,
the young,
or young and restless.
Yeah, you go. But, like, we've all talked about, okay, Cam Jordan, 10.5 sack season. Like, that's incredible, 35 years old, to have that type of resurgent season. You know, he was tied for 8th in the NFL in tackles for loss.
Overall?
Yes. He had 15 tackles for loss, that tied for 8th in the NFL. And for whatever reason, we talk about sacks, and we never talk about TFLs. Why is a sack for negative 2 yards more valuable than a tackle of a running back for negative 2 yards? The answer is, it's not. It's worth the same. We just talk about it more when it's a sack because it's a sexier number. But just for perspective, Cam did that on 589 defensive snaps. He's tied with Danielle Hunter for the Texans. 728 defensive snaps.
Yeah, I was about to say, who plays probably
right.
Doesn't come out the game.
So you're talking about a guy who had 10.5 sacks, 15 tackles for loss. All on, you know, it's not, I wouldn't say he's a part-time player, but he's not a full-time player, mm-hmm. right? Like, he's in a rotation.
He's in a rotation.
Way more than a lot of these guys toward the top of this list. And just the guys ahead of Cam Jordan on this list, Alex Highsmith, Danielle Hunter, well, they're tied, right? So Jeff Simmons, Eric Wilson, Tuli Tuipulotu, Will Anderson, Brian Burns, Max Crosby, Myles Garrett. Like, that's the list of names that he's right there with. Now, Myles Garrett has 33.
Yeah, I was about to say his should be astronomical just
which
because.
Is absurd.
Yeah, when you get, but think about it though, you have 23
yeah.
sacks.
Yeah.
You know, then you know, 10 more tackle for losses is not out of the question, particularly when you talk about run game. But, you know, it tells you also a little bit about Houston because it sounds they're two defensive ends or
Will outside Anderson and Danielle Hunter.
Yeah, outside
incredible.
Linebackers. Yeah. I mean, however you want to list them, both of those guys are in the top five.
Trust me, watching that defense play, it's like I would not be surprised if they win the Super Bowl just based on defense alone. Like that, the way they have built that team up is incredible.
Well, look at their head coach.
Yes.
Yeah. Look at.
It's built in someone's image, and that correct. Man's that man is D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah, and so what he sees or what he thought of what defense should be, that's how they've built that team, and you kind of hit it. On your quarterback, and so even though he probably hadn't played as well, I mean, because you got to remember, at the beginning of the year, you didn't even know if they would make the playoffs. That being the Houston Texans, and you know they're having to travel because the Steelers won a division, but I mean they were in the mix completely as one of the better teams. I think they went on some crazy streak at the end as far as to win games. That being Houston, but defensively is where they make their money.
Yeah, I mean, what they started the season, I've lost. They started the season 0-3.
Yeah, it was ugly. I remember it. It was ugly, and then there was a stretch in there where Stroud was hurt with concussions, and it was like, is this guy going to come back and play at all?
And Davis Mills kept him afloat, so you got to give him credit.
Well, he kept him afloat, but I don't know if they won any games. Maybe won a game or two with David Mills, but he kept him competent.
Let's see. I think they may have beat the 49ers with Davis Mills. Let's see.
Okay.
I have to look. But either way, you know, C.J. Stroud, it's funny. You talk about the young rookie quarterbacks and they're all the rage, and then C.J. Stroud's kind of fascinating because now he's just a dude, right?
But with that team, you can be a dude.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing. You don't have to be the second coming, because that's what we had C.J. Stroud after his rookie year. He was the second coming of all of those great quarterbacks that, you know, were kind of retiring, and he was the one that was going to step in, and now it's just like, Stroud's good, but, you know, look at the number one pick over in Jacksonville finally playing somewhat, you know, really, really good. Or, you know, look at the Indy quarterback that is playing really, really, really good, Daniel Jones, and then he gets hurt.
Yep.
You know, and so C.J. Stroud, Cam Ward is the man of the division, and look at who's in the playoffs.
We do gotta put some respect on Davis Mills' name, because they went 3-1 with him as a starter.
They did go 3-1. Yes. Well, hey, David, I'm sorry. I was not familiar with your game.
Backup quarterbacks matter, man. When you have a guy, like, that saved their season.
Well, that's what I was about to say. Right? Yeah, that definitely saved their season, because
they're not in the playoffs if you go 1-3.
No, not at all. Not at all. And so, yeah, David Mills is a guy that's been around for a while as well, but he knows what he's doing.
Yep, he started games. Right?
I thought that their record was a lot worse though than 3-1.
I did too. But
I'll take if a quarter of my season and my backup comes in and he gives me three victories.
And the game they lost was to the Broncos.
He gives me three victories. Yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah.
This is Fans in the Pro with Deuce and Jeff on WWL. Welcome back to Fans in the Pro, and it's Deuce McAllister and Jeff Nowak, who has been with me while Mike is out sick. And Jeff, I know that we don't have long, but I want to get your perspective on what the Saints need to do this upcoming offseason. You know, I know we have, like we talked earlier, you have free agency really before the draft, but we've got the Senior Bowl, what, in 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
Yeah, I need to book a hotel room.
you don't want to ride the train? The Mardi Gras train added another seat.
I could ride the train, but I think they would frown upon me sleeping at the train station.
That might be true.
I might take the train now that you mention it. I hadn't even thought about that.
You get the scenic view and ride over to Mobile. They just added another train for Mardi Gras season.
We're running out of time here, Deuce. That has nothing to do with
what we're talking about.
It's important stuff to talk about. You know, so there's a lot of stuff. Like, I need this team to keep getting better. I need the work to get done, and that's what I trust will happen. I think that the vibes are really good, and there's going to be a lot of great off-season work. I know Tyler Shuck's going to arrange some throwing sessions, that sort of stuff. But to me, I think the biggest thing is I need to figure out the running back position. And no, you don't need to take a running back number 8 overall, but, like, what is it? It's you know, where is Alvin Kamara at? Is he going to play another season? I don't think he's going to get traded. I don't think he'd even allow that to happen if he came down to it. But, you know, what is he, and what is his role. Kendre Miller, you know, who knows, right? Like, you feel terrible for the kid because I feel like he did everything right this season. He still had a knee injury to end his year. Where are you at with him? Devin Neal, I thought, was really strong in what he was able to do, but, you know, what is his ceiling? Do you have any movers and shakers at the running back position, or is it going to be a committee? Like, to me, that's, you know, obviously offensive line, something you got to shore up, but, you know, we talked a lot about how the run game is kind of making a comeback in the NFL, and I need this team to support its rookie quarterback with an effective run game. And at this point, I just have no idea what it's going to look like.
Yeah, and I don't have that answer for you,
right?
Because the same questions you have, I probably have them as well. I'm okay with by committee if that's the approach that they take, but you've got to get some juice, not necessarily just in that running back room, but you got to get some juice on that offense. You got to have some guys that has some juice. They got some speed that, hey, I can get him this touch and 40 yards, it's over. So that's just a couple of things that I want to see. There's a lot more. You know, we got to get out of here, like you said, but if you get a chance, take that train, man. I ain't rode it yet, but I read about it.
All right, I'll look into it.
It's been fantastic. Thank you so much. It's been an outstanding year. Thanks for everybody that's been a part. This is Fans in the Pro with Deuce and Jeff.
Who that?